Welcome to the National Awakening Conference call. My name is Marlon Sharp. I'm the National Field Director for STANS, and here is your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Well, thank you so much, Marlon, and thanks, everybody, for joining us. We have a very special guest today, and of course, as always, there are things swirling all around us, but today we want to discuss a foundational issue, which I really believe is important to the future of the country, and we've got an expert and a leader in this country, in Arkansas, and a leader for STANS as well to share that with us. Let me introduce him in a second, but first let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for the freedom that we have to do what we are doing right now. What I've said many times, there are places all over the world where you can get arrested for doing simply what we are doing. You can be actually put in prison for it. And there are people in our country, sadly, who would like to do that to us because they don't like the things that we're saying. But we know that our liberty didn't come from them, and it didn't come from government. It came from you. And so we are so grateful to live in a land of freedom. And, Lord, our prayer is that we may preserve this wonderful gift you've given us that will not be lost, as so many great nations have been, to decadence and degeneracy and immorality and depravity that causes them to just implode from within. Ben Franklin challenged us when he said to Mrs. Powell, "A republic, if you can keep it, help us to keep it." Thank you for these leaders who are on the call and all that they do to preserve and protect and defend this constitutional republic. Thank you for our guest speaker today and all he's done to serve this country and to serve you, most importantly, Lord God, by being a proclaimer, a herald of truth. Thank you for the leadership that he provides in Arkansas and the leadership that he provides in our organization, STAN, and for the military leadership that he's provided. We are grateful. So, Father, we just give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. We claim the victory, not just in this election, but in the spiritual and cultural battle that this nation is engaged in right now, that ultimately truth will prevail. Faith will prevail, Lord, that you and the people who know and love and serve you will prevail. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, folks, it is my pleasure and my honor to introduce to you a dear friend and really kind of a son in the ministry, and just somebody who is just blessed me and bless so many others. He is a leader in Arkansas among conservatives in general, done some tremendous work there, which he may have a chance to talk a little bit about. He's senior pastor of Zoe Bible Church in Little Rock, Arkansas. He's also stand president for Arkansas and a national vice president for us as well. Pastor Iverson Jackson is a lieutenant colonel. I don't know whether he's left the reserves as yet, but he has been a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves. In fact, yeah, he served 25 years, retired at the rank of lieutenant colonel, and currently serves as chairman of the African American Coalition of Arkansas, and is national vice president, of course, as I said, of Ministers Take a Stand for STAN. And I could go on and on. The man is a real powerhouse and an influencer. I was talking to some ministers yesterday out in Missouri when I spoke out there, and they said, "Well, where are the people? We often feel alone." I said, "Well, I know some of them. Well, this is one of them, folks." Pastor Iverson Jackson. Pastor Iverson, thank you so much for taking time. The floor is yours. You know what to do. We'll open it up for questions and comments when you're done.
Yes, sir. And thank you, Bishop. And what an honor it is to be back on the call and to listen in when we get that opportunity. To serve, I think it's just the greatest thing that we can do. God gives us the ability to do things, and for us to just sit on that, it's probably one of the greatest of sins. And we cannot just stand by while our American culture just goes to that other place. And so we have to do everything that we can do to right the ship. That's just all it is to it. We got to forget about what people think and, you know, being afraid and so forth, and just do what God put us here to do. And, you know, Bishop, just a little bit on my background. My wife and I have been pastoring here for about 27 years, Mary, 27 years. And, you know, as the old saying, we were just kind of going about our business. And back in 2012, I did a message called Where Does God Stand on the Issues? Now, understand at that stage, I did not know how the political apparatus was built and designed and worked. I just, you know, I knew what I was, who I was and how I voted. Of course, that was Republican, conservative Republican. But as far as how the machine worked, I had no idea. And a friend of mine called. She was running for office. And this is very peculiar. She said, you know, she's running for office down in South Arkansas as a Republican. And she went to a church. She's a black lady. She went to the church to a church to visit. And after church, she was talking to the first lady of the church. And they were walking in the parking lot, and the lady agreed with every single thing my friend was saying she was standing for. And then she said, okay, I'm going to support you. I'll vote for you. And she said, my friend told her, she said, well, when you go to the poll, just ask them for the Republican ballot, because this was during the primary for a Republican ballot. And she said, Republican ballot? Oh, no, I can't vote for a Republican. Now, mind you, she agreed with every single thing my friend mentioned, but she was just stuck in that tradition of being a Democrat. And so it was very sad. So when my friend called and said, hey, can you help me out? I sent her the message, Where Does God Stand on the Issues? And all I did in that message simply was just took the Democrat Party platform, the Republican Party platform, the four major issues of the day. Again, this is back in 2012. And what does the Bible say on those four issues? And those are still the four major issues of today. You know, abortion, same-sex marriage, you know, the whole welfare issue. And should God even be on the platform? And I dealt with those. Well, that message started getting out, and it's been our number one message for now for, oh, however long it's been, 12 years. And it wasn't a political message. This is just what God, this is where God stands. And, you know, the left would try to have us to make everything political. And I said, no, no, no. This is in the Bible. The Bible is older than the Democrat Party and the Republican Party. Okay, this is what God says. I don't know why we're having a debate about it in the church. And so from there, you know, different groups just began to ask me to come and speak. And Bishop, I would just say to them, well, I'm a preacher. That's what I do. I preach. And they said, well, we want you to come on. So I'm saying this for, I know we got many pastors on the line here, that people want to hear your voice. They want to hear what thus saith the Lord. And so I didn't change to try to fit into a political machine. They wanted me just the way I was. That's where I am. That's the way I was. That's the way I am. I stayed on. And, you know, when we talk about America, how God has blessed us in American patriotism. And I say it like this, American patriotism and the Jesus culture, they are inseparable. Because in my lifetime, patriotism has always been a part of the culture, and so has Christianity. You know, most people think if they were born in America that they are automatically, used to at least, that they were automatically a Christian. Now, I cannot recall, not even once, when a teacher at any level spoke disparagingly about America. Now, I'm 62 years of age. I'm 62 years of age. But I can't ever recall hearing one of my teachers all the way back to you know, kindergarten, ever speaking disparagingly about America. And, you know, you parallel that with just about everybody in the community during those times. Just about everybody in the community went to church at least sometimes. And in the church and in our homes and schools, we were taught to be thankful that we were blessed to be, you know, here in America. And someone might say, well, what about all the things America did wrong? Well, we own our mistakes. We own up to our mistakes. But you don't set the whole ship on fire just because you sprung a little leak. You get the repair crew over there to fix the leak and plug it up, or at least get it plugged up until you get the ship in the harbor and get all the passengers off safe so that you can effect repairs. But this anti-American spirit coming from the left that, you know, the Democrat Party, let's just call it the way it is, can only be defeated by the Christian Bible-believing church. That is the only thing that can defeat it. And, you know, as I said, patriotism and the Jesus culture, you can't separate that, because patriotism was part of it's part of the American heritage. And we have to teach our children again. My daughter's, you know, she has her own business, and she was putting a little something on TikTok, and she put the song by Lee Greenwood, I'm Proud to Be an American, on there, and they banned her from that. They said, you can't put that content on TikTok. And I said, wait a minute, they're making millions upon hundreds of millions of dollars a day because of our economy, and we can't say proud to be an American? What in the world is going wrong with that? But in our culture, everything. So I said, you know what, they need to TikTok on away from here. But they wouldn't allow that to be played. And you go, how is it that our culture has turned to where we can't even say, I'm proud to be an American? You know, I remember growing up and all the songs we sung, God Bless America, God Shed His Grace on Thee, and, you know, America the Beautiful, and then our national anthem, and we would see signs of manufacturers, Made in America. Everything was, we were blessed in America. But how did that begin to change? Well, it began to change when our church began to weaken its message instead of standing for what's right and doing what's right. So our culture in America, this American culture, is tied directly to our Christian faith, all right? And so America was so Christianized, let me say it like that, that many people, again, thought being an American made you a Christian. In America, we feed the poor, not because we have such abundance, but because it's the Christian thing to do. Jesus said to do it, feed the poor. We help the weak, the sick, across the world. We help the defenseless, not because we have such great power, but because that's what Jesus told us to do, to help the widows and the orphans. And we go to war, and many of our young people never come home. They spill their precious blood on foreign soil, not because we're just so mighty, but because Jesus said that greater love had no man than this, than he laid his life down for his friends. And so all the things that we do is because our culture is born out of that Judeo-Christian faith. And again, it's not by might or by power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. And so when we that's why we have to wake up. That's why everybody all over the country, Bishop, you're going all the time. And all over the country, people are saying, well, what do we do? What do we do? What's the problem? And I always tell them the same thing. It's the pulpits. So until we ministers of the gospel, begin to preach the gospel again and not try to hide behind some cloak of, you know, that's politics. No, preach the gospel. The gospel covers everything. You don't have to. It's not the gospel. It's not Democrat. The gospel is not Republican. It's not left wing, right wing. It is the word of God. When you preach that, you know, you'll be thankful to be wherever God has you born, because, you know, God is no respected person. But patriotism is an outgrowth of Christianism. And, I'm okay with being called a Christian nationalist, because if that's, I'm Christian first, and I am thankful to be in America. I love Christ first. And out of that love for Christ comes the love for the nation that he blessed us to. So I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I'm not ashamed of the United States of America, a nation born out of that love for Christ. People came here because they wanted to worship God freely. And we don't want to end up like the old men of Israel. In Psalms, I'm going to read just a few verses here. In Psalms 137, verse 1 through 4, listen at this, friends, because this is where we will end up if we don't get this back in order. You know, so I want you to really think about this. Psalms 137, verses 1 through 4. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. And there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Verse 4, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And sometimes people have the mindset that America can never fall. Well, no one's going to attack us as such, as, you know, militarily. But when you attack the culture and you weaken the culture, in our culture again, that Christian culture, when you start weakening that, you're weakening the actual structure that holds everything up. And if we don't get this together, if pastors don't stand up, believers don't stand up and stop being ashamed of who they are and what God made us, then we will be, America could end up just like those men. We'd be sitting around talking about how great America used to be, how we were able to do this, and we could go here and go there. And you know, even in the book of Acts, from a couple of thousand years later, when Jesus was about to ascend into heaven, and he was giving his last words to his disciple. But you know what was on their mind? In Acts chapter 1, verse 6 says this: when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? I don't ever want to be in that position where I have to explain, since I'm a grandfather now, since I'll have to explain my granddaughter, you know, well, when is America going to be restored? And she's looking at you like, well, why did you let it fall? And I don't want to have to say to her, because I was afraid, you know, I didn't want my reputation to be tarnished. Is that what we want to have to say to our grandchildren or great-grandchildren? No, it's not. And so Israel, they wanted to be the Israel that the whole world feared, revered, and looked up to. But because their sins separated them from God. And so we have to call out this sin. Listen, we all know. Two men shouldn't be getting married and all the rest of the stuff that's going on. That belongs squarely under the purview of the church, not a politician, okay? And so the church has to stand up. Pastors have to stand up and just say away with whatever the government wants to do. They just have to do it. But I'm going to speak the truth. And that's all it is, because I'm certainly not going to look at my little granddaughter and say, your grandpa was scared, so he just stayed in the house and sucked the stone. No, that's not going to happen, all right? So our greatness, Israel's greatness, was always an outgrowth of their relationship with God. And just as America's greatness is an outgrowth of our relationship with Jesus Christ, this is why, if America's going to be great again, then our pulpits must be set aflame again with the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is why Christianity is under such attack across the world, and to include America. Because if you stop Christianity, and everything else crumbles and falls, because Christianity is the pillar from which patriotism rests on. So patriotism is an outgrowth of the Christian culture. And that's what we have to remember. Bishop, you were with us. You were the keynote speaker here, as a matter of fact, in Arkansas. And we love you here in Arkansas, and I know you've been here several times. But you'll recall the service we had at our church. It was called For the Love of God and Country, and Bishop Jackson was our keynote speaker. And we brought in folks from all different walks of life, politicians, regular, you know, just pastors, leaders in the community. But so many folks still talk about that service, Bishop, because it just opened their eyes. And many people had not put it all together that, oh, this is what the church is supposed to be doing. And so this patriotism, don't fear. Somebody say, oh, you're one of those patriots? Absolutely. And I'm a Christian, too, and that's why I'm a patriot. So thank you, Bishop, for allowing us to be here today. And we're just excited about it. And I trust that that we'll all get in this fight. And do what God put us here to do.
Amen, amen, amen. I tell you, I've just been enjoying every moment of it. Folks, press *6 to get in queue to ask a question of Pastor Jackson, Pastor Iverson Jackson, another Jackson in the house.
Yes.
Look, I want to ask you to address this, because I know you have some profound thoughts about this, and I've heard you talk about them. We when I was out in Missouri, these preachers out there, we were talking about the fact that if Christians ever got together,
mm-hmm.
we wouldn't even be in the position we're in.
Yeah.
But the division, the racial division, the denominational division, this, that, and the other, instead of us fighting for the truth of God's word, we often end up fighting each other over this, that, or the other. And people often ask, well, and the black church, why is it that black Christians vote Democrat when the Democrat Party has embraced all these values that are absolutely antithetical to the Bible? I mean, they're just in full-blown rebellion at this point. And yet, many black Christians still go out and vote for them. Talk about, is that changing? Why is it that way that too many are still caught up in that, A? And B, do you see that changing? Are we seeing signs that maybe that's beginning, that dam is beginning to break?
Yes, sir, because it is beginning to change. And you know, we have social media now. We're able to reach into places where we couldn't reach into. So folks don't just hear their pastor now. And what you say can be challenged right on the spot. You know, someone can say this about a certain person. You can look it up right there while the speech is going on. You can fact check that. And so Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 6, he says, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. And so many people have never been told the truth. And I do this all the time. Someone will ask me a question, and I'll say, get your phone out. They take their phone out, and I'll just say, now look this up. And let them see it for themselves. It's kind of like in the church when there many people years and years ago, of course, a lot of people couldn't read, and so they had to trust whoever the reader was to read the scripture. Well, we're well past that now. You can read for yourself, and so that has to be a shift that people have to start looking at things and thinking for themselves. And a lot of folks are afraid, because they don't want to lose different types of fellowships and so forth like that. So they just have to, as God told Joshua, be strong and of good courage. And that's what's missing in a lot of this. And then, Bishop, the other thing is that pastors, my goodness gracious life, and you say, why are the people like that? Just if you can stomach it, sit in on some of these sermons and just listen to them and not, I mean, they are, not only are they not reading from the Bible, it's like you said, antithetical to what the scripture says. And when I hear a preacher try to cover up what abortion really is, it's the shedding of innocent blood. That's what the scripture calls it, the shedding of innocent blood. And you hear now this mess about the choice in church. So if you're hearing that in church, then and that's where you're supposed to get the truth, then that person is going to be really in trouble until you challenge that. And, you know, I was sharing with someone just recently, I said, if God told Jeremiah, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb, so when does life start? As far as God's concerned, you're already there. So there's no, well, it's just a tissue. No, God said, I knew you before I put you there. And that's pretty simple, plain and simple. So if he put them there, then later tells Jeremiah, I have plans for you. And so that's what we have to do, is just make sure that we're following the word. And you have to be willing, as God told Abraham, to leave your folks and be a seeker of the truth. That's the only way you can make it.
Amen. Amen. And, or be willing to let your folks leave you.
There you go.
Yeah.
Either way.
Amen. Well, look, we've got people on the line who want to talk to you, so let's take the calls. Let's take the first one.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. This is Pastor Milton Johnson.
All right, Dr. Johnson. All right.
And that just your last few words just leads into the question I had for Pastor Iverson Jackson concerning whether or not many pastors are actually afraid of their congregations, because they will weigh and measure, put their finger in the air and determine what's popular within the congregation, whether it's being Democrats or being pro-choice or whatever the issue may be, and stand out in front pretending to be leaders, but it's actually the congregation leading. Do any of you see that happening also within our churches, which must be a change towards God's word?
Absolutely. There are, and I have known of and hear of it's almost like a committee that just kind of decides what the pastor's going to preach on and what's allowed and what's not allowed because you're in a certain type of denomination and you know you're here. Well, you know, our folks believe this, and it's not necessarily so. So bring the Bible and arguing them about what the Bible says, it's a waste of time. And that's why people have to have a heart to hear God for themselves. And then you have to make that decision that that this God is not in this place. You know, you love people, but you have to love them from a distance, because you have to make a decision whether you're going with people pleaser or you're going to please God.
And look, you know, folks, you're hearing from these two men you're hearing from and me. We happen to be black preachers. We love God. We love his word. We're seeking to be true to him, not true to race or anything else, but true to God, because God is the one who made us who we are. So we're not ashamed of who we are. We're thankful to God that he made us who we are, but we know that our identity is in Christ Jesus. But the black community has been taught to be pandered to on the basis of race. Everything's mm-hmm. racial. We're all victims, and the white man this and the white man that, and they get this stuff in their churches. And,
yes.
and look, just briefly, I say this very advisedly, because I don't want anybody to think it's based on any sort of animus, because I don't have any toward him. But Tony Evans, of course, is having another set of problems right now, and we certainly pray for him. I don't in any way glory in the man's problems. I went to a meeting with him, and he was speaking, and I was shocked, because he got up in that meeting and said, the only reason why people are criticizing Barack Obama is because he's black.
Oh, wow.
I was shocked, and this is not something somebody told me Tony Evans said. I was there. I heard him say it, and I thought, what? But you see, that's what the congregation likes to hear. You know, they don't want to hear, well, we don't agree with him because of abortion. We don't agree with him because of his views on homosexuality. No, they want to hear, oh, the only reason why they're out to get a black man. And so that's what people get in a lot of these churches, rather than the truth. And it's part of the explanation why the black church is so off and continues to vote for these Democrats. But praise God, I believe through men like you all, people are waking up. And Donald Trump's doing some outreach, and I'm really thankful to God for that. So, but yeah, that's part of the problem. And we could raise a crowd if we pandered. You can raise a big crowd if you're willing to pander. But if you wasn't putting the truth out there, people are going to look at that, and some of them, I don't know whether I want to eat that or not. You know?
Yeah.
So unless you have another comment, I will go to another question.
Good enough.
Go right ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen, Bishop Jackson and Pastor Jackson. This is Jose from the Democratic People's Republic of California, and I am proud to be a Christian nationalist, because the alternative is a atheist globalist, which are right. My question is this. While the British credited the Black Regiment of pastors in America for the success of the American Revolution and spiritual leadership, we've had that infiltration of our seminaries with the book by a book called The Smoke of Satan, The School of Darkness, back in the 1930s, the communists invaded. So they've had 100 years almost to invade and corrupt our entire clergy, Catholic and Protestant. So my question is, how much time do you think some people we have to right the ship, because we've got all this momentum of pastors and pulpits, and some people say it's too late, we have to just focus on the next generation of children coming up. Do we have that kind of time? God bless and thank you.
God bless you, Jose. I like that, Jose. I'd rather be a Christian nationalist than an atheist globalist. go ahead, Pastor Iverson.
Yes, sir. I'm of this mindset. I'm never going to give an inch of ground, not one blade of grass, not one grain of sand. I'm not going to give up on any person, anybody at any time. I'm not going to skip a generation. I'm always going to go back to Scripture, because the Scripture says this: neither give place to the devil. Uh-huh. And so we don't give up any ground and say, well, we've just lost this generation. I can tell you this: that's never the case, because there may be one or two in there that represents that generation. You know what we call the Joshua generation? Remember that? That uh-huh. Everybody else. 20 and under, or somewhere along that, they didn't cross over. But you had the two, Joshua and Caleb. And God wasn't wringing his hands saying, oh, man, ain't but two left. Oh, my goodness, how are we going to do this with just two? So if God is okay with the two or the one, and you know, when Jesus told them they had to eat his flesh and drink his blood, and we know how he was speaking there figuratively, but they took it literally. And the Scripture says, and many of the disciples from that day walked no more with him.
Uh-huh.
And Jesus turned to his main group and said, hey, are you going to go too? In other words, he wasn't begging them to stay. He said, hey, this is it. If you want a part of this, this is it. So we can't back up, give any ground, surrender, not one blade of grass.
Amen. I love that analogy, because Jesus, you know, I say preachers, they would have said, please, let me explain. I apologize if I offended you.
No.
Just put it out. Amen. Okay, we got one more.
Oh, okay. We just spend too much time apologizing.
Amen.
For being right.
Hi,
praise
my name
God.
Is Janet. My name is Janet, and I wanted to, in listening to the pastor speak, and the question that was just asked by the listener spoke about seminaries. And I realized that some of the pastors you're forming an association of churches
mm-hmm.
where
mm-hmm.
pastors are getting together and going to be trying to support one another. And I'm wondering, since maybe it seems like the fault of the problem are the seminaries, I hate to say that, but just like mm-hmm. in the culture, our children are being deprived of the word. Could it be that the seminaries need to be where the pastors as an association begin to maybe try to help out some of the seminaries to maybe, I don't know how, but perform or involve them in the truths of God's word, making changes on their own curriculums, their platforms, their teachings? Because if
Amen.
What you're putting out is ministers who don't know, and that's what we're getting. Churches are getting that.
Thank you, Sister Janet. Great point. Great point.
Yes, ma'am. that is, what you're saying, that is correct, because these seminaries are, sometimes we call them cemeteries, where spirits go to die. And it's so sad that is the case. But that's kind of the evolution of the way man and cultures evolve, if I could use that term. There, the first groups will be on fire and they'll be all for God, and then it just seems as we get more educated, then we start leaning more on our intellect than our spirit man. And when we do that, then we start getting away from the Scriptures, and then some people find themselves to be even smarter than God. There was this theory called higher criticism when that came about in the 19th century, I believe it was. And they started to question the Bible. You didn't accept it as the inerrant, infallible word of God. You began to question different parts, different that. Also now, if we're qualified to question the word, then we're judging the word, then that means we get to pick and choose which part of the word we think is true, which part is not. And I just don't think we're ever going to get there. You know, the Bible is true. I believe it from the Genesis 1:1 all the way to the end of Revelation, that every word is true. And whatever someone disagrees with it, we may not have a revelation of a certain part of it, but that's okay, because we've seen in time how, and you look at Bible prophecy, that's the greatest proof that the Word of God is true, because from the beginning, God told us some things, and we see them come to pass, and so we know that that's true. But yes, ma'am, those seminaries tend to be grounds where people go and die, and that's a good parallel you made with our schools today. And so if someone's going into ministry, tell them to be very, very prayerful about where they go, and even if they need to go to a seminary, there are other ways to be trained.
Yeah, that was a powerful and effective point, because the cemeteries are the same kinds of brainwashing factories that colleges and universities and public schools have become now. And that's part of why we have such a big problem in our culture, where people don't even know that we are Christian culture, Pastor Iverson. They don't understand that. They haven't been taught that history. My wife and I were discussing it. We said, even when we were growing up, we weren't really taught that much about American history. We taught civics, but not really an understanding of American history and why we are the way we are and what that means. So praise God for that point. She was also referring to, because she's a member of my church, so she knows about the Stand Fellowship of Churches and Ministries that we are starting. And I hadn't thought about addressing seminaries and trying to connect with them, but that's a very excellent point. Look, before we go, I want you to tell people, where you pastor. There may be some people listening from Arkansas right now or have relatives in Arkansas. And anything else that you want people to know about you or how they can connect with you or support the work that you're doing.
Okay. You can get us several different ways. If you're in town, you can come visit us. Zoe Bible Church at the address is 1209 Pratt Road, Little Rock, Arkansas. And we have services there on Sunday morning and Wednesday nights. You can also get our podcast on our you can go to wherever the podcast store is and get that. And also go to our website, Zoe Bible Church, Little Rock, and get the podcast there. I'm in the midst of doing a series now on marriage, God's Blueprint for a Perfect Society. And, he starts with a man and a woman, and that's his blueprint, one man, one woman. But, yes, you can catch us on YouTube. Also, just type in my name or Zoe Bible Church, Little Rock. And all those different mediums, we'll be streaming Facebook Live here pretty soon. So they're just working on a couple other things to get that. I don't know how long we'll be able to stay on there, but we've been
YouTube told me that my content is harmful.
Yes.
So, I'm sure yours is just as harmful as mine.
Dorothy told me we wouldn't last on TikTok one tick.
Oh, man. I was shocked when you said that playing I'm Proud to Be an American TikTok actually banned that. This just goes to show how, you think you can never be shocked again, but they keep, it just keeps getting worse.
Yes, sir.
Well, look, thank you for your leadership or Stand and your fellowship with me. I'm deeply grateful for that. By the way, I'll tell the entire audience, when I was out in St. Louis, actually Maryland Heights, Missouri, right near St. Louis, preaching at a church called Grace Church there, and I'll tell you, they have had some major problems for doing just what you and I are talking about, standing on the Word of God. And they said when they found themselves in the middle of all the controversy, there was nobody coming to their aid. There were no pastors. In fact, they were avoiding them rather than running to them. So when I told them about the Stand Fellowship of Churches and Ministries, man, they were excited. They really were. They were excited because they said that's what we need. So when we find ourselves out there, there's somebody we can turn to, a group of ministers we can turn to and say, hey, look, we stand with you. What can we do? How can we help? You want us to show up? Can we contribute? And just encouraging you spiritually and morally that you're doing the right thing, because in one case, for a while, they would start preaching on, say, killing unborn babies. They would have people stand up and walk out screaming at the pastor, preach the gospel, preach the gospel, get off that stuff.
Wow.
I mean, that, and so this is, you know, you said, God said to Joshua, be strong and of good courage. And that's what we have to do. But as iron sharpens iron, one brother sharpens the countenance of another. So we're, that's what the stance. So those of you listening right now, if you know pastors that want to do what is right, they're trying to stand, they feel alone, have them get in touch with us. We have formed the Stand Fellowship of Churches and Ministries. We're going to start having meetings and opportunities for us to get together and share what's going on in our various ministries and how we can help each other. So thank you for your leadership in all of it, Pastor Iverson. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Bishop. It's been my honor to be on the program with you again today. And we're looking at, you know, doing For the Love of God and Country 2, part 2, sometime soon or, you know, sometime in the near future. But we're just thankful for allowing us to be on with you today.
Well, listen, God bless you. Give my love to your family, your church, and we'll be talking again soon.
Yes, sir. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you. Well, folks, thank you all so much again for tuning in, staying with us, and you all stayed with us, too, throughout that entire time. You know, we sometimes watch people drop off, but none of you dropped off. We appreciate you. Just want you all to know I am back on AFR, not as a radio host right now, but as a podcast host. I am doing a podcast. The Awakening is back on AFR. My first podcast will post tomorrow. Please be sure to tune in. And, of course, I'm on for live Tuesday through Friday. We're on every day, but I only do live Tuesday through Friday on E.W. Jackson for America. And you can get that wherever you get podcasts, or you can go to our website and get the information or on Facebook, our Facebook page, E.W. Jackson for America, or YouTube to the extent that they allow me on to. But there are a number of places in which you can get that. So I encourage you all to tune in. I ask you, if you haven't done it yet, please become a Patriot Partner with us. The economy has caused us to lose some ground with our Patriot Partner movement, and we really want to make up the ground we've lost and move on. My goal is really 1,000 Patriot Partners ultimately. I know I'm not going to get to that this year, but I'd like to get to at least 300 this year, and then maybe double that in 2025. So help us. If you're not giving yet, please do. $5 a month, and you become a Patriot Partner, we'll send you some gift. If you sign up for $25 or more, I'll send you a free signed copy of my book and numbered copy of my book. So, folks, we're in the fight, and we're not quitting. We're not backing off. We're not backing down, not one iota. We've had some serious challenges for about the last year and a half, really, some of them financial. But the Lord has brought us through every single one of them. So you all know, we're not in this for money. We're not in this for fame. We're not in this for power. We're in this to serve God and serve this great nation and see to it that America becomes, remains, I should say, the constitutional republic our founders intended, and becomes and fulfills the vision of the shining city on a hill that John Winthrop saw and that I believe God intended when he first put it in the hearts of the first settlers to come to this continent and put it in the hearts of our founding fathers to declare our independence, which we just celebrated a few days ago. So God bless each and every one of you. Stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.